Welcome, everybody, to lucky 13th episode of Podcoin, Logan.
We can't possibly screw this one up.
Mm-mm.
Man, by that standard, all the other ones were unlucky, too, though.
It's true.
So, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, what have you been up to this week, Logan?
I've been up to nothing.
Really?
I watched some movies to get ready for this, but other than that, nothing.
Your movie training, you have to watch a couple movies before you watch the real movie?
I have to watch a couple movies to be like, oh, that's a good movie I can compare this movie I'm about to see, too.
I see. What did you see?
Braveheart.
How was that?
It had nothing to do with Poseidon, yeah, which we'll be reviewing tonight, but it was cool. I expected more water scenes, because, you know, I expected him to flip over at some point and have to walk on his hands the rest of the time.
The skirt goes up.
But never happened. The skirt did go up, though, I will point out.
Right.
But Braveheart's a good film. I'm surprised I haven't seen it before. I liked Gibson's directing after seeing The Passion. I liked The Passion as a movie, actually. I thought he did a good job with that.
Right.
And so I was like, you know, I didn't see Braveheart in that movie where he doesn't have a face. The Man Without a Face, because he directed that one, too. I'm behind, though. I haven't seen that one
yet. I was thinking Lethal Weapon 3.
Yes. But, no, Lethal Weapon 4 was the one where he didn't have a
face. Oh,
okay. He was like, who am I in this movie? Because he was so... Everyone in that movie was confused. Anyway, because that guy doing karate confused everybody is what it was.
Confused me. But... He took apart a gun. How'd he do it?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so Braveheart, good film. I liked it.
That's cool. I haven't seen it at all, actually, so I have to go see it, you know.
But, I was surprised halfway through it when you came in. You're like, hey, you know, blah, blah. We talked, and I found out that movie won an Oscar. Mm-hmm. It actually won for Best Picture of 1995 and Best Direction, because that movie in no way seems like an Oscar-winning film, but which is a good thing, judging by Oscar-winning films now. You know, when you have Crash win an Oscar, it makes Braveheart look bad, I have to say.
I'm not sure I can decode that properly, but I think you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Well, I saw The Da Vinci Code, which is funny because we were going to see it for a podcast, and then we decided to skip it because we're getting behind in terms of the old movies and everything. But I can say that I've read the book as well, and I liked it about as much as I liked the book. It's sort of, I compared it to a John Grisham kind of a thing. It's sort of like, not Shakespeare, but it's like a mid-level airplane book kind of book. It's like a good time passer. It's enjoyable enough. That's what I thought about the movie, too. It was enjoyable enough.
Okay.
So.
Yes, since you did point out that we were both going to see this, and the whole plan was I didn't read the book, which I originally planned. I actually bought the book for it, but I didn't read it, and I was going to come at it from just viewing it as a movie while you viewed it sort of as an adaptation of the book, which is really hard to do after you've read the book. So.
Right. Well, if you see it, then we'll talk about it
I'll definitely
podcast.
See it at some point. Yeah, we'll discuss it in a little five-minute segment I like to call the five-minute segment.
It's a pretty good name for it.
I just made it up.
Really?
That's my personal podcast.
You're a writer.
That's right.
That's amazing. So anyway,
see any other movies?
You know, I feel like I might have, but nothing I recall now. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Well.
I don't think so. You?
No.
No. I have some movies here at my desk I have to see.
Okay.
But I'm probably not going to get a chance to see them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway. Well, should we look at some more viewer mail?
Yes.
There was a scandal, by the way,
uh-oh,
I should tell you about this week. That we had
I didn't touch her.
Answered the same viewer mail two episodes in a row,
mm-hmm,
and I went back and made sure that that was not the case, Logan.
Good, thank you.
Yes, they were similar questions, I admit, but that's in the hands of our view listener, asker guy, Bill Kolaris, not ours. I can't help that they're similar.
So who are these random people that thought they were better than us and thought that they called us on this thing, Ryan?
My mom.
Oh.
And also Chris Willis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your mom?
We don't care. Yeah, it was
also
my mom.
That's right.
We don't care about either of those people.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this is actually Bill Kolaris' last question that he sent us. Hopefully he'll send us some more, maybe.
Yeah.
After he hears this. But his last question to us was, are you aware that the number of podcasts you've recorded is rapidly approaching the number of movies you've made? And for those of you who are not familiar, Logan and I make movies as well as talk about them at LazyBearProductions.com.
And talk about at the end of every single episode of Pod. So they should be aware, hopefully.
There were a couple where we didn't mention. I'm trying to get back in the habit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we need to make that. We need to put that on the list of things to do.
Okay. You make that
Keep
list.
Keep that in mind. Okay. It's mostly grocery shopping.
So anyway, he's saying, do you realize that you've almost made as many podcasts as you have movies? And with this episode, Logan, that becomes true. We've broken even now. It depends on what you count as a movie. We've had some projects we've half finished, et cetera, and some projects that we're not counting, but we've made about 13 movies, and this is our 13th episode.
In our movie section on the website, we've made 13,
right,
counting those. And
exactly,
those are, yeah, that's what we're counting right there. But to answer his question, no, we were not aware.
We weren't aware.
So we had to go look this up, and then we were surprised to see that it's exactly even. So we need to hurry up and make another movie, because 13 movies is unlucky, Ryan.
I know. Well, I guess it would be... We're working on a big movie this summer, Killing Elvis. Check
that's
us out at killingelvismovie.com.
And hey, if you count the trailer, then that's 14 movies we've made.
Now you ruined
that's
it.
That's right. Hey! But it's on the website, so it's not officially up
oh,
there
okay.
as a movie yet, so we're good to go.
Well, I was just saying that it's lucky that wasn't the 13th. because that would have been like, this is our biggest project. I wouldn't want it to be unlucky.
That's right.
So now, luckily, we made that other crappy project, well, whatever one that brought us up.
I can't wait till we get to Project 666, because then we'll be definitely screwed, you know?
It'll be a couple years.
Yeah, we'll be.
But, yeah.
I'm hard at work.
Okay,
I'm making a series of just really short films, some way to make one extremely long film, Ryan. Uh-huh. By that point, we'll get to Project 666.
Speaking of 666, were we ever going to see the Omen remake?
Yes.
Or is that too much of a marathon?
No,
It's like 11 million movies.
I'd actually already planned to add the originals to Netflix to get there.
Okay, good.
It's four movies and then the remake. So,
okay. Oh, that's not too bad.
It'll be worthwhile. And, I mean, technically, if these people want to start yelling at us, and we really only need to watch the original since it's a remake. But, I mean, because we didn't... We're going to talk about Poseidon's Nut today, and we didn't talk about... We didn't see the second Poseidon.
Yeah.
Or the sequel to King Kong, or there's a bunch. Yet we sat through all the scary movies for some reason. I don't know.
Well, we see what we're in the mood to see.
That's right.
And then you have to listen to it, too.
Yeah, you have to listen.
Not them, you.
Oh, me? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. I'll be good this time.
Good. So, what did we
see
this week, Logan?
This week, as I've already mentioned, we sat through three different versions of the Poseidon Adventure. There was the Poseidon Adventure 1972?
Sounds right. You want to look it up?
No, we'll say it's 70s. Okay, the Poseidon Adventure 1970s. The Poseidon Adventure 2005, little known, actually.
TV miniseries.
And then there's a reason why it's little known. We'll get to that. And then Poseidon, because, you know, it's like Poseidon the musical, almost. You know how when they release something now, it has to be just like one word to be like, Poseidon!
They were going
to
call it Poseidon exclamation point.
Yeah, that's right.
But they didn't.
Poseidon, which is the 2006 remake by Wolfgang Peterson.
Correct. So starting with the 70s one... I have to say, can I just jump right into my preconceptions about this?
Yes, go ahead.
I have to say that I was not so excited about seeing it. I've always wanted to see it, but I didn't think I would like it that much because I figured it's going to be an effects film. You know, it's as you told me, it started off the effects wave of the 70s or whatever with
the
like
disaster films. Yes,
airport,
it started the disaster
that
film,
kind of
yeah.
stuff. Uh-huh. So I thought, well, if it's an effects film, I'm probably not going to like it because the effects of the 70s not so great. You know, it's in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
However, it ended up not really being an effects film. There's a few effects in there. Obviously, there's some effects. But it's mostly a human drama. And that actually kept my attention much more than the effects would have because they did set up the characters pretty well. There was all sorts of suspense about if they were going to get along. And it was more about whether they were going to kill each other than it was whether the waves were going
to
kill them.
Mm-hmm. And this is extremely important in the comparison to the remakes. Right. So I'm glad you mentioned that. But yes, the original Poseidon Adventure, I wasn't too excited about seeing it either. I saw it once on a field trip in sixth grade or something like that, when the teacher's like, "Let's watch my old timey movie," and she put it in, you know,
right. I remember Katharine Hepburn was your math.
Yes, exactly. Right, you know, on the bus. So when they make you watch this film, I'm sure it's followed up by Grease or something like that.
Right.
But anyway,
I saw Jurassic Park in sixth grade.
Oh, really?
So I don't know.
Man, you're
you.
Way ahead of your time. So we watched that, and we're like, "Yeah, I was like, this isn't too bad." And you know, Leslie Nielsen, I was like, "He's a funny guy."
Yeah.
So I thought it was a decent film then. But I'd forgotten almost everything in it except for one important plot twist, which we won't ruin in this. But I'm sure they... I don't know. I can't imagine...
I didn't know it when I watched it.
Anyway. We went to watch it again. I wasn't too excited. It grew on me, though. It slowly got better and as it went along. And one thing that the Poseidon Adventure does that the other ones failed to do... Well, the second one does this too much, I think, actually. But the third one, not at all, is it actually does develop the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And in doing so, it devotes like at least 30 minutes of the opening to that. While beside the new one, it's just like instantly, you know, everything falls apart.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's no character development, and we hardly meet... We don't know which characters the movie's actually going to follow. That's how bad it is. But we'll get to that, I guess.
Well... I was going to say, go ahead. No, sorry.
I was going to say with the Poseidon Adventure, I gave it a 7, which I was like, I can't stand by this film as having very many fans. But when I went to IMDb, it actually had a 7.2.
Sure.
And it's Amazon, blah, 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 Amazon listed as an Amazon Essential, which means like this is an important film you need to see.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently has like tons of people were behind this movie as a great drama, which I never thought. I thought people would view it as an action film, but everyone views it as a drama, and it's a good character drama.
That was the big surprise for me, that it was more character based, which I was really glad. And also, I think it was a big key that they got like Gene Hackman and Ernest Borgnine, who
Ernest
always loved
Borgnine, yes.
weird random parts.
Great in the film.
Really great in the film, actually. And who else was good? Well, Shelley Winters and you know, a bunch of people. But the actors were really there to beef up the characters that might not have been that interesting without them. And Gene Hackman is really great in this movie.
Yes.
It's not a guarantee that he'll be great when you see him. But he's usually great in everything, I think.
Oddly enough, though, it's when you think about following a priest around as a main character,
yeah.
It's a character that Hollywood knows that, it's hard for people to get behind, because people are either religious or they're not. So they're like, oh, I don't care what this priest is saying, who cares, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the way they presented Gene Hackman, it's like, every now and then he'd say something if you're religious you cared about, then he'd be like, but God's all wrong, you know?
He's a rebel priest.
Yeah, exactly right. So you identified with him in an odd way, but I have to say.
You know, it's... let me get a little metaphysical here for you.
Okay, go for it.
I don't know if that's what I mean by this, but it's in a movie like this, it's sort of man versus nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that's the perfect kind of movie for you to be like, God's against us!
Exactly right.
It works perfectly.
Mm-hmm. That's better than Signs, when Mel Gibson's like, God's against me in the form of aliens, I don't know. Oh, I love my wife. That was that whole movie summed up in 2 seconds. Yes, it was.
But it worked out. Yeah, and what else can I say about this? Like you said, it won me over. Like, it was... It's. I slowly started caring about the characters, mm-hmm. really. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, I hope everything works out.
No, I mean, yeah. This,
and it kind of did.
Yeah, it kind of did. So what did you give it, Ryan, then?
I give it 7.
7? Okay.
Yeah. I thought, you know, there were some parts where it was a little slow and then, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera. So I didn't give it an 8, which is one of my basic level I like this movie kind of a thing. Sort of an 8.
The first level where I might run out and actually buy this movie is an 8, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I only buy movies I care about. I'll lie slightly about that because I have some of my collection that people have just given me.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, hold on. It's not worth selling for, you know, $4.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like me, apparently, when they give me these
Mm-mm.
things.
They're sorry,
like, give a $4 DVD, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Beside Adventure, yeah, I'd 7, same as you. Mm-hmm. The beginning and the end are the best parts of the movie, actually. The beginning when everything, you know, when the wave hits and everything is really good. And then in the end, in the engine room there, you start really caring about everybody again. It gets really intense.
Yeah.
The middle kind of drags, like you said. There's just a few boring parts set in there. And most of those, with the remakes we found out, are like Poseidon Must, though. When they must, like, sit there for 5 minutes and be like, what do we do now? And then mm-hmm. they all argue and everything, but mm-hmm. it always works out.
Yeah. So, we should mention that there's a movie we didn't see in here. You want
yes.
to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
Beyond the Poseidon, that's what it's called. Okay, you know more about it than I do.
Made a few years later. I believe the same director, the same writers. I'm not positive about that one. Some of the background people came back. Anyway, it brought back Michael Caine. It brought in Michael Caine, actually,
yeah.
as a guy who's like, I'm going to go save some more people on that ship. Because it's upside down still out in that ocean. And then, sorry, my Michael Caine impression's lacking.
That's a pretty good thing he's here.
Yes. And then he goes to do that, and obviously he finds survivors. I'm not sure if there's any other actors in the original film or not. And while doing so, pirates take over the ship because they're looting it for gold. Which, hey, this could happen, actually. Think about it, you know?
Okay.
We're not talking about pirates like you're thinking about, Ryan, okay?
Oh. I thought it was Long John Naval.
But, you know, if this actually happened and the boat was still afloat, which it is in the at the end of the original, not to ruin anything, though.
Yes.
Then people would come and pretty much loot it, if possible.
Well, that's totally plausible.
Yes.
Possible. However, it seems...
Because people are still doing that now if the boats have actually sunk years ago.
Sure,
yeah.
sure. Well, you know, I guess you're right. I guess there could have been other survivors on the ship.
Well, it's supposed to take place just a few days after, if not the day after, though.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite
Seems
sure.
like it would have sunk by then.
Yeah, I agree so too. But anyway, so Michael Caine's like, I gotta, action time! And then, you know, he fights some pirates. Now, Michael uh-huh. Caine fighting pirates with 70s chops, you can't, like, ignore that. That'd be great, I bet.
It's almost better than, I forget the name of that movie he did where his hand, you know, going out of control and tried to kill him. But that movie was awesome, and this sounds even better.
Okay, it does sound even yeah. better. All I remember is Jaws 3D, where he's like, I gotta kill Jaws with this stick and poke at the camera! Camera!
Because he thought it was audio 3D.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But he was wrong. Okay, so anyway, we didn't get a chance to see that, is what we're trying to
say. I'd like to, though.
I want to, too. But we want to make you aware of
it. I'd like to.
I know, existence. Well, how many years after the original was that?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was not right after, but, you know, just within, like, 3 or 5 years, maybe.
Gotcha.
I think so.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, then we went, and for some reason, this is your call, actually.
Yes.
We saw, well, I know why. Because Steve Guttenberg was in it.
Steve Guttenberg.
But we saw the 2005 miniseries TV remake.
Well, when I saw the trailer for Poseidon a few months back, right? I went on IMDb and started reading about it. And, you know, down at the bottom now, they have a little message board where all the idiots speak.
Sure.
And some guy down there is like, oh, do you think this will be ruined because of the image the 2005 remake presented? And I was like, 2005 remake? What's this all about?
Yeah.
So I clicked on it, and I found out, and this is what we do. You know, we have to follow films, right? You know,
sure.
when we go see a movie, we can't just see a movie. We have to see everything else that preceded it. So I was like, 2005 remake? And there, it turns out there was a made-for-TV, I'll say miniseries, even though it was only 2 parts.
Mm-hmm.
Remake being 2.5 hours. Of the Poseidon Adventure, starring Steve Guttenberg.
Yes.
And instantly
which
I'm like, didn't. I'm there. Yeah, which it didn't at all. But he was like the big name listed on the any websites you go to about
which,
it. On the front of the DVD, it's him like with a fire behind him. Yeah.
Which you know we love Steve Guttenberg.
Well,
or
we do.
As you've taken to call him.
The Gooter.
The Gooter.
Yeah.
Which is odd and, mm-hmm. and wrong.
He's the Gutenator.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
I know.
yeah.
I know he is. Yeah. Now I don't know where
yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this now.
But you know, if he's your biggest name, you might be in trouble. Is what I'm trying to say.
That's true. And
Rutger Hauer was in it.
Poor Gutenberg's a funny guy, and he needs to stick to comedy. He has a good talent for comedic timing.
Sure.
And you can. It's obvious that this was a paycheck movie for him.
Yeah.
Because he's barely in it, but they just needed someone with a name that they could attach to it.
Yeah.
He was it. And it looks like more than anybody else, he showed up probably like a week worth of filming for this, while everyone else was there probably 4 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
Judging by what we got in this
film.
And
did you notice in that movie there were a lot of shots that were like, we're all here, but they weren't all
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they weren't all there.
Like in the background.
Just like life.
Some guy in a Steve Guttenberg wig was there.
That's another sad thing about this film. Gooter is so old now. He had a comb over the first half of the movie. Then when his hair got wet, you could tell they had to arrange it every single time.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, ah. Anyway, made for TV remake starring Steve Guttenberg. And this was before they announced any plans to do Poseidon, you know, like a Wolfgang Peterson $25 million epic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is
that
all,
$25
million, that a lot in Hollywood now?
No.
I'll say $400 million
okay.
epic. I'm not sure the numbers
if it
of
only
that
costs 25, they might be making some money.
No,
they,
well, yeah, Poseidon Adventure costs more than that.
Yeah.
Poseidon costs more than that, probably. So, Ryan, what do you think of this made-for-TV commercial breaks taken out epic?
It's so cookie cutter. I mean, like, every character is like, I'm having trouble with my wife.
Yeah,
everybody.
That's very much so.
That's Guttenberg, actually.
Yeah.
And that's how we talk. But the other thing is they're terrorists on the thing. And it's like, how...
That's the big change, yeah.
Adding terrorists to everything makes it patriotic. I get it, you know?
Well, we have the terrorists, but they're actually what changed the film around.
Oh, yeah,
because
they changed it.
Yeah, they updated this. I'll go on... This doesn't ruin anything, because it's the beginning of the... Well, it's actually the end of the first hour of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
They figured, with every Poseidon, I guess they figured they need to update it. Because the original, it was an underground earthquake, which caused a giant wave. I don't know if that's even possible.
I want to point out, though, in the third they say it's a rogue wave. It's the same thing as the underground earthquake. That's what caused
it. Oh, really? Okay.
I think.
Well, I guess just the way they presented it in the third one is terrible. But we'll get to that. In the second one, what happens, playing off all of our 9/11 fears, is Poseidon gets taken over by terrorists, who plant bombs, which they put into kegs. Don't drink those kegs.
No.
They put bombs in the bottom of the ship, and because only one explodes, it causes the ship to flip over.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
And also, weren't there like three?
There were three bombs, remember, but they...
Stopped one.
They stopped one. One goes off, and they make a big deal about detonating the other one at the very end.
Oh, I forgot that, yeah.
That doesn't ruin anything. People, I know most of you haven't seen this, and you don't plan to. Most of you don't even know it exists, and there's a reason.
Yeah.
You can get it on DVD, however, if you're at all interested. You can go to Best Buy and buy it. It's all over. It's on Netflix, even.
Yeah.
While all this is happening, instead of putting all the characters together and making it interesting like they did in the Poseidon Adventure, they split them all up. The Goots off gootening some girl. Everyone else is kind of
in
the room, and the things happen. After an hour of character development, which there really isn't, they spend an hour...
It's the characters sitting around.
And talking about technology and how cool it is to be on this, you know, this new ship and everything.
Yeah.
Something finally happens, and then from the actual scene of... The people flipping over is always the best part of the Poseidon Adventure movies, in my opinion. And there are a few cool bits in this one. Mostly, though, they're just bits exactly from the Poseidon Adventure, like the girl falling from the table and into the, you know, the, I don't know what you'd call it.
The light fixture?
Plate glass thing, the top of it, whatever.
I thought that was what it was.
Yeah, anyway, but overall, it was terrible.
Yeah, it's a movie where every character is so, by the book, cookie cutter and obvious. What it is it's the daytime soap opera version.
Yes, exactly.
And it's that long, too. Where it's just like, you know, I wonder if Melinda knows that Poseidon is having my baby. And it's like, oh, I don't care. And it goes on, and literally, it's two parts. The entire first part is before the ship is turns over. So it's like, it's just this long, boring thing, and it's like, I don't want to give the movie credit by calling that character development.
Yes.
Because nothing really happens.
Nothing happens at all. On top of that, they change the characters around so we don't care. They kill off the husband of... We cared about the two old people in the original because they were together and you didn't want to see them separate.
Yeah.
Well, they've already killed one of them off, so now I'm like, okay, the fat woman's on a swim. Who cares?
Yeah,
you know?
Really.
We have a Homeland Security agent just there so he can transport a terrorist
who
around.
Who is it? They manipulated a character from the book. That character actually is in the book, but he's a cop.
He was definitely not a Homeland Security agent, since that's more of a newer invention, right? Yeah. And then they ruined the priest character by casting Rutger Hauer in it, who we usually like, but he's terribly miscast as a priest because he doesn't get a chance to kick any ass at all. He's just like, I'm a priest.
Well, I wouldn't say he's miscast, but he is underused.
He is underused, heavily. Yes. He's good, exactly. Maybe that's what it was, there's lack
of
Rutger
Hauer.
And even in this film, we get to point out, this film actually brought back Rutger Hauer and C. Thomas Howell.
Right.
From The Hitcher, a film Ryan and I both liked.
Yeah.
But they never actually did anything together.
I don't think they spoke to each other at all.
Actually, there's one scene where they're introduced and one dies, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Who
right.
cares?
Also, after the Poseidon Adventures, the movies have made this big deal about following everyone who stays behind the ballroom for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen the Poseidon Adventure, you know what happens to the people who stay behind the ballroom. Well, in the Poseidon Adventure, they actually die in front of everyone else, which, you know, makes them... I'm not
making this sound like you were going to reveal it.
Well, no. That doesn't mean anything, yeah. But actually, that drives the other people to surviving, I think. It's a very good factor adding to that. But in the other two, it doesn't... I mean, it's like, we'll wait, you know, an hour and a half, maybe show them some more. And
yeah.
It's like, are we supposed to follow these people?
Well, at least in... We'll talk about this in the 2006 version, but at least in the made-for-TV version, two of the characters we care about are down there for a while.
Yes, that is
true. They finally get out.
Right, okay.
But that's not the case with the third one.
Yeah, it's kind of like, eh.
But the thing about... Before we get off C. Thomas Howell, though, is that the Goot's daughter,
yeah.
I'm going to get used to it.
Okay.
is in love with C. Thomas Howell.
Yes.
Who's like 50 years old.
Well, no. As I pointed out, it's like the episode of Simpsons, remember, where they brought in, they're like, and here's so-and-so from Springfield 90210, and he comes in and he looks like a teenager, and he smiles and it's all wrinkles.
Smiles and his face
Simpsons
cracks.
Jokes, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly
how C. Thomas Howell was in
this.
He was fine until he talked.
Looks okay, really, for his age. But you shouldn't be trying to have him in love with some 20-year-old girl.
Exactly. That was, I don't know what was going on there.
It was wrong. Oh, it was so, like, we couldn't believe it when it started, like, happening.
We were like, huh?
That was
actually the first time we were like, oh, this movie could be really bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's also a whole side story about how the kid in this one wants to be a filmmaker, and he films a Dracula film on board or something.
Yes.
And then when the guy dies, I don't care about ruining this, and he's like, the best Dracula ever.
He didn't
he's so
say
sad.
That.
No, he's so sad that that guy died because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get to finish his film.
I think he could have used that last shot. Some creative editing will fix that. Much like Ed Wood would have done. He'll get somebody else and put a tape on it.
But creative editing cannot have fixed, I don't think, Poseidon,
no.
The 2006 remake. Ryan, what do you have to say about that before we get to that really quick?
Well, actually, this has to do with Poseidon, but it also has to do with the miniseries version. I just want to say really quick. If you ever have to cross a dangerous chasm on a precarious bridge with no railing, what you need to do is get on all fours and hold on to the sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way you do it without falling, Logan. However, in both the miniseries and in the Poseidon remake, apparently the best way is to balance movement and then fall into fire.
There's always that one character who we know we don't need to follow, so they're the one who just walks across it while the camera's on the other character.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
And they just come back and like, come on, it's easy!
I backflipped over here. But I mean, how stupid you have to be not to go on all fours so you don't fall over. Okay, whatever.
True.
So the Poseidon 2006 remake...
Can I ask you to start off, but do you mind if I do?
Not at all.
Wolfgang Peterson has let me down every single time, Ryan.
I thought Air Force One was okay.
And, well, Air Force One was only good before Harrison Ford.
Maybe.
At this. Every special effect and every other actor in that movie did a terrible job. They had no clue what their aim was. Well, Harrison Ford's like, I'm president. You know, you believe Harrison Ford if he just walks in the beginning. If Harrison Ford walked out at the beginning of every movie he was in, he's like, okay, in this movie, hold on, stick with me for a second. I play so-and-so, and this is what I'm going to do. I'd be like, yeah, go Harrison Ford.
Absolutely.
That's how Harrison Ford
he came
is.
Came over once instead of his president.
He has a way in his movies of making it where you only care about him, and everyone else, you want to see their ass get kicked. You don't care who's doing it, but you're hoping it's Harrison Ford. Yeah, exactly right. But everyone else, especially in Air Force One, everyone else was just there to get shot by like the terrorists or whatever.
Well, what was
Gary Oldman, correct?
Thank you.
Yeah,
he was good.
He's a good actor. He wasn't very good in that movie because he's like, I have a goatee, I'm evil. And once again, it was a movie about Harrison Ford too.
Yeah, yeah.
But the worst thing about that movie was the special effects. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time. And I noticed that in the theaters. Usually, in the theaters, when you see a movie, it's either the special effects are either new then, or they look just better blown up on the screen. But when you see them later on, it's like, well, these special effects are old, obviously. Or in the clarity of DVD, it's obvious that you know this is all computer and everything like that. Eight-Legged Freaks comes to mind. When you see that movie on DVD, you're just kind of like, okay, the spiders aren't half as cool looking as they were in theaters. But Air Force One, in the theaters, whenever they showed the outside of the plane, it was the worst CGI ever.
Mm.
And at one point, it looks like he forgot the CGI and just put a plane on a piece of string and held it there. And, like, he moved the moon by in the background on a stick or something.
The bad airplane. Was it Airplane or Airplane 2 where they did that?
Airplane 2, yeah. I believe, yeah. But, so, there was that. And that was in the theater. So I'm like, oh, this can't be good. So then I saw The Perfect Storm, and that just confirmed all of it for me.
That was a bad movie.
For some reason, he figured he didn't need to use any of the actual ocean in that movie and just did all CGI water and for no apparent reason. Yeah. And it looks really, really bad. And then we have Troy, which also, he's like, on the pan across this huge, epic city. And it's one actual building, one model of an actual building, then CGI, like, the rest of it, including, like, the bad CGI people that walk like they're all in a Michael Jackson video.
So you're a big fan of his.
I don't know. It's not just the bad special effects, but he doesn't do any character development at all in any of his movies, and you just don't care about any of his characters.
Well, that's the big problem with this movie.
And that's what Poseidon was.
Is that Poseidon. It's like, I'm Kurt Russell, and I think about, oh God, the ship's turning over.
Without ruining anything, there's actually a scene where they're like, look over there. This is in the captain's like quarters or captain's the cabin. I guess what would it be called? The captain's helm. They're like, look out the window, and he puts binoculars up. He's like, oh my god! And there's a giant tidal wave.
Which
coming.
Are the biggest now, goofy binoculars? I know they have big binoculars on ships. They're just the way he presents them is hilarious, as if it's a joke.
Well, the point being, though, did no one else see this coming?
Yeah,
I mean, it even showed up on their radars in the '70s, Ryan. Yet all technology, it didn't show up on the radar this time. Oh well, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and that was in the first like 5 minutes, the boat flips over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big problem.
Yes.
And they have a rudimentary sort of my first movie kind of character development would be, mm-hmm. where it's like, I'm Kurt Russell, and I don't know if my daughter should marry this guy, because I think he's a loser.
Yeah.
And then they have Richard Dreyfuss' character, who, they say he's gay, actually. I don't know if that was his choice or not, because it seems like something he'd do to make the part more interesting.
Well, I'm going to say that it probably was not his choice. It seemed like a script thing that was actually further developed in the script.
Yeah.
Because they spend, like, he has a a 2-minute monologue about how much he misses this person.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's other characters who are similar. Oh, the guy who's smuggling his girlfriend aboard, or not his girlfriend, maybe. And none of this ever pays off, at all.
No.
It's, like, set up. It's moved one increment maybe forward a little bit, and mm-hmm. then it doesn't pay off. None of it pays off, except for Kurt Russell's story, which is it pays off in a very cookie-cutter way.
Yes, yeah. It pays off in the way you completely expect it to. Yeah. There's more problems with that. They split up some of the characters at the beginning, much like the Poseidon Adventure remake of 2005, where they're going to get back together, but the problem is they get back together right away. There's no obstacle for the people who are in the disco.
No.
I'm not making this up, people. There is a disco. There's no obstacle for them to overcome, and what there is actually this guy's pinned under something, but he's pinned under it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the whole time they're just like, it's not working, we can't lift it.
And they finally get it off and his leg's not broken.
Yeah, exactly.
It took
right.
three people to lift it off you. Your leg's not broken?
Sad thing is, since this movie's out right now, I don't want to give anything away, as our standard here at Podcorn.
Central.
But there's not much I can say about giving away, because all the bad points in the movie are just giving things away.
Well,
The first half of the film, they're just crossing things.
Yeah.
And then the second time they're doing it, it all of a sudden stops working. You know, we saw that coming, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, big thing to note is that everything is far too easy for them to do. It seems very intense and action-y. They're crawling through the duck thing was actually really cool. I like that scene. They're crawling through the ducks, then the water's coming.
Although, I find it hard to believe that a kid and Kurt Russell can fit in the same area, but Richard Dreyfuss, who was not the biggest person in that going through that, couldn't like fit through one area by himself. Apparently, I don't know. And all it took was a small Hispanic girl to push him up, too.
Well, he got stuck. He got it in a weird angle. That's what I assumed. Okay. He couldn't get out.
And a kid and Kurt Russell, like, elbow to elbow is not a weird angle, Ryan.
That's a weirder angle.
Yes, exactly.
Not one that gets him stuck, apparently. No, that was there were definitely problems with that whole turning the thing.
Right.
I won't get into it. But the point is, everything happens so quick in this movie that nothing seems difficult.
Yes.
You know? And especially when... I can't give that away either.
I'm going to go ahead and give this away, Ryan.
Go ahead.
There reaches a point in every bad movie where you're just like, okay, this is it. I would walk out right here if I wanted to, really, okay?
Yeah.
And the point in this movie was when they were all talking, at the end of talking, they're like, hey, where's so-and-so at? And then, and then they go and explore for so-and-so later on in a big dramatic way because the boat's sinking really fast, right? And it turns out so-and-so has no clue how he even got there. They're like, how'd you get behind this big grill thing, you know? And he's like, I don't know!
The writer forgot to explain it.
Did I describe that right?
Yes.
That was the worst part in this movie. Like, okay, we don't need to... I'll just say this. It was the kid, right? And the other two, the kid is set... And I'm sure it's like this in the book, too, just assuming. But I'm sure the kid is there to add the youthful, like, oh, we can do this, guys, let's keep going. You know, as a kid, you're excited about doing all those things. As a little boy, I'll say.
Right. In the original Poseidon Adventure, he had actually studied the ship and knew
exactly.
where everything was.
Which is set up in the Poseidon 2006 remake, but never pays off.
Much like everything else.
Yeah, exactly right. But in this one, the kid's a scaredy cat who doesn't want to do anything, yet he finds the time to go explore on his own for no apparent reason. He's like, I'll do that, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and the funny thing is they don't explain how they're able to get him out either.
No, he keeps going underwater, coming back up giggling, then going back under again until one time he comes up with him. No one in this movie did a good job. It proves that it seemed once again like a paycheck movie for everyone involved. It doesn't seem like it mattered that Kurt Russell played this guy, Richard Dreyfuss played this guy. We talked about the roles could have easily been reversed.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Kurt Russell could have easily played the main guy and been okay still.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they just cast these people to put them on the poster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just whoever they could get.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I don't have a problem with any of them. I think most of them are okay actors.
Oh yeah, I think they're all pretty good actors, right?
Yeah,
I'd say that too, right.
But, you know, it didn't make any sense. It wasn't worth your time. It's, you know, what happened is it's somebody who didn't understand that the Poseidon Adventure, the hook, was the human drama part.
Yes, exactly.
They just took that and they just made all the effects, you know.
It's kind of like the, I can't think of a good remake right now. I'm sure there have been some, though. But it's more along the lines of, like, a Psycho remake. No one who watched, you know, the original Poseidon Adventure is like, well, we need a remake of this and update it and all that stuff. No one. There was no need for this remake. It just seems like, you know, everyone involved wants some more money.
Yeah.
And that's the way it comes across. It seems like no one really cared about it. Point being, stick to the original. If you do plan to go see the remake, don't be one of those people. Go see the original, too.
Yeah.
Because there's this thing of, you know, I guess it's more people our age and teenagers. They go see all these remakes. You're like, yeah, that rock. And you're like, oh, well, what do you think, you know, the original Poseidon Adventure? Like, the original Poseidon Adventure?
Question mark?
Yeah, exactly. So,
Texas just Chainsaw Massacre?
Oh, that's the worst one. There we go. But stick with the original.
Kid was in it, by the way. The kid who played her boyfriend was in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I did not know that. But if you do plan to see the 2006 version, you can ignore the 2005 version and see the original, too.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay.
I think everyone should ignore the 2005 version. That didn't really offer anything. No. But the thing is that even that had some, like, two or three characters from the book, or I assume the book, also from the original movie, which I assume had more characters from the book. But anyway, the new one didn't have a single character from the book, did it?
No, I think they took one or two names, because the name Dylan was in there. That's a very familiar name within...
Who would he have been?
I think Steve Guttenberg's actually Dylan in the...
Really?
Yeah, the name Dylan stood out to me.
Well, then, if that's the case, it has to be just the names, because I didn't recognize any characters.
Yeah, I do think they took a couple names.
They don't have a priest in the new one.
No.
And there's no fat lady, as you pointed out, which we were all depressed about.
Yeah, who's going to do the big swim scene?
Yeah, everybody.
Obviously not a fat lady. Yeah, everybody. Everyone swam in the remake.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about Poseidon.
Yeah, so, as you said, stick with the original, you know, and if you want to see Richard Dreyfuss play a gay guy, which is an interesting choice, then
I'm
you
sure
can go see it, but that's pretty
other
much
other movies, maybe, where that might happen.
Maybe, hopefully.
Hey, was he trying to do a voice in this movie, or is he just old?
Some scenes I thought he was trying to do a little bit of a fey voice.
Yeah, I was like, don't do that.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Richard Dreyfuss, who I like, but it's
but
like...
But maybe he's just old. Maybe he was playing old.
It's depressing to come from the 70s, when the original Poseidon Adventure was made, when we had Richard Dreyfuss, you know, like, with the beard and everything, and Jaws, and,
I thought
like,
about
Close
when
Encounters.
He was swimming, I was like, huh.
Yeah, and Jaws and Close Encounters, be like, oh, yeah, that's Richard Dreyfuss, and see him now, and be like, Richard Dreyfuss is my granddad. You know, it's kind of depressing to see him now. It's one of those things.
That is true. But, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's it for me. I have to say, though, and I want to know about this. If the people out there in Radio Land, you always call them our Boo Radleys.
I don't call them
you
Boo
always
Bill Clovis does.
Oh, okay.
I use
our
that
Boo
word.
Listeners out there.
Yeah.
Like it when we do when we see the original, then do the comparison to the remake, or when we see all of these sequels in anticipation of this. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Then email us and let us know, because it's something that I think is just kind of exclusive to this show, because no one else will review all the other ones while reviewing the new one for you too.
That's true.
While most people just pass by the original and then talk about the remake, right?
Yeah.
Let us know if you like that or not, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm interested, because we were kind of planning on doing that for the next 8 weeks. No.
There are a lot of opportunities coming
next up. Next week, yeah, we'll be doing it for X-Men.
Well, that brings up a good point. We're going to have to take a week off, right?
Yes, we will be taking a week off to...
accommodate my schedule.
Yeah, because the X-Men movies are really long.
Yes.
Yes, there we go. We can only watch one every 2 days.
And not feed them after midnight.
Yes, and the new one's already sold out 2 months in advance.
Oh, man.
We're going to sneak in. There we go. See? Whew. Avoided that one.
Yeah. No, yeah, we're definitely back in a regular schedule now, but something's come up. I have to go out of town. So, sorry, everybody.
You sound so important. Something's come up and I got to go out of town.
I'm a professional gambler and I have to take a cruise.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. So, anyway, that's Podcorn for you. I am Ryan.
And I'm Logan.
And go check out LazyBearProductions.com.